four Wednesday evenings have gone by fast. That's been a whole month, hasn't it? It's been good to be here. There's kind of an excitement in your midst that it's just great. Just, you know, you can't take that for granted because it isn't everywhere like that. Even charismatic services sometimes get tiresome because people begin to take the things of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord for granted. And they're always seeking, you know, some way to make it exciting when they really don't realize that the excitement's inside you where Christ lives in you. And he just needs to be given an opportunity to manifest himself. I had fully decided that what I wanted to share with you tonight was entirely different from what I'll do. You know, we get pretty, get it pretty well down what I want to do and what I want to say. And having this meeting tomorrow, I had something for tonight and had something for tomorrow. And we walked in, I don't know, the Lord began to deal with me about sharing tomorrow's message with you tonight. And then this song was put up here, "You're more precious than silver and more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds." And then I began to think, well, you know, I guess I'm hearing you. And then this girl got up and said, "You couldn't outgive the Lord." And isn't it fun when he deals with you like that, you know, and you know he's on your case. I thought the best thing you can know is that the Holy Ghost is on your case. Sometimes it's not so much fun, you know, but you still know that the workings that you're receiving in your soul and your spirit are from the Lord. So I had even marked this message "girl talk." But it just so fits in with everything that's happened already tonight that I'd like to do it with you anyway. George, did you learn that song? Shame on you. No. You know 100 songs, but that song about Zion is very lovely. And when your church learns that, you'll enjoy singing it. There were so many things in the scripture. I find, your pastor probably would agree, and some of you may, I find that the church is impoverished for lack of knowledge. Amen. Not, you know, your congregation necessarily, but everywhere, people are just crying out, you know, to know more about Jesus, to know more what's in the Word. They don't often want to go to the trouble to find out or to go and expose themselves to it. We were talking last night, my friend and I, we were teaching in Ephesians and talking about how God had, or Christ had given gifts to the church. The ministry gifts, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He has done everything he can do. The rest of it is up to us to get it. Everything. Someone said in prophecy or somewhere tonight that he's given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. It's a passage of scripture in the Old Testament somewhere in one of the books of Kings. Said, "Ramoth Gilead is ours, and yet we take it not." All the treasure that's in the scripture, and I just go kind of nuts, you know, I think, oh, this has to be taught. This has to be expressed. This has to be shared. This has to be made known because it's such an enrichment to the people of God. And I know it's such a little time that we have to really get into the meat of the Word together. My daughter says, "Well, calm down, Mother. You don't have to teach the whole Bible to the whole city. Just take it easy, you know." But I find myself just never wanting to really slow down because I'm afraid I'll miss something. Amen. And that's ridiculous to miss something. But I want to talk to you tonight about some very interesting scripture that I put together myself. And we think it hangs together pretty good. I don't know whether you will or not. But we think it does, and I'd like to ask you, if you would, to stand and let me read some of this to you. I believe it's an honor to God when we stand in His presence to have His Word read. The Word's the most precious thing that God has given to His church, other than maybe His own Spirit, and without the Spirit, the Word doesn't mean much anyway, because the Word of God is life and spirit. Now, you probably won't have time to find all of these. If you do, it's all right, but I don't want to waste a lot of time waiting. But in the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, a very beautiful scripture there in verse 11 says, "God has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. And that's the part of the verse that I want to use, though the rest of it's all right. It says, yet so that no man will find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. And I want just to think with you for a moment that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. Your translation of your scripture may say that he has set the world in their hearts. But the better translations and the newer ones and the commentaries agree that that is translated. God has set eternity in the hearts of men. And then in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5, the scripture says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justly and righteously in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. And I want to read then out of the 12th chapter of Matthew's gospel, verse 42, where Jesus himself says, the queen of Sheba, or the queen of the south, shall rise up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. And then back to the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, where we'll get our narrative story to look at some verses there. And now, there are really 13 verses that we... Can you stand up that long?
Yes.
When the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord... Now, put that on hold. Concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. When the king, queen of Sheba, perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters, and their attire, his cupbearer, and the stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was zapped. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half has not been told to me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men! How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighteth to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. Then she gave king 120 talents of gold, a very large amount of spices and precious stones. Never again had such an abundance of spices come in as that which the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And also the ships of Hiram which brought gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir for a very great number of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house. Also lyres and harps of the singers, such almug trees had not come in again, nor have they been seen to this day. And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire which she requested, besides what he gave her according to his royal bounty. Then she turned and went back to her own land together with her servants. Father, we thank you tonight for the joy that we already feel because of the power that's in your word. Thank you for the opportunity to praise your name. Together, Lord, we give thee thanks and glory. We turn our needs over to you because you are the great burden bearer. We thank you for the joy of our brother who shared. Bless your sweet name, Lord. You do work with us at our points of need. We thank you now. And Lord, I ask you to do something in our hearts and our spirits tonight, because of the word of God which we've read together. We'll be careful to praise and thank you. And all the people said, amen. Amen. There's several titles you could call this little thing. It really, I guess, is a good meeting for a ladies, good topic for a ladies' meeting. But there were just so many things that we'd like to talk about. You could call it eternity in the heart, the seeker after wisdom, or the queen's visit. But these passages of scripture all fold together if you haven't begun to see it. God has set eternity into the hearts of men, and of course that means hearts of men and women too. And we can prove that, you see. It's God's business to do that. Did you know that you didn't find him?
because he wasn't lost. He found you because you were lost. And to some men and some members of the race, and I suppose really to everybody, and to a measure, God has set eternity down into the hearts of people. It takes God to do it. We can do a lot of things, but the tug of eternity is beyond our reach. We don't know what we're talking about because we don't know much about eternity. But God found some strange and interesting and beautiful people to work on and to work with, and set eternity in the hearts of such people as Rahab the harlot. Who ever heard of such a thing? You know, God's no respecter of persons. Ruth the Moabitess, outside the commonwealth of Israel. Who would think of such a thing? But God doesn't think like we do, and he's no respecter of persons. And then this Queen of Sheba. Now, this word Sheba, some of the commentators say that it was from a remote corner of Arabia, and others say that she was from that part of Africa known as Ethiopia. And some people say that the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts was in the kin line of this queen. But it doesn't make any difference which one, but it was a long ways that she came to see the king. One of the Bibles, a friend of mine was reading one day, we were teaching something along this line. It said that she traveled 12,000 miles on camelback. Friends, that's wanting to go somewhere. That is a long ways on camelback, 12,000 miles. But at the time, it's what the time in Israel's history that's so important. During Solomon's reign, there were three great and glorious things about Israel. It was at the height of political success, worldly prosperity, and godly wisdom. You remember God had blessed Solomon so and told him he could ask anything he wanted. And Solomon didn't ask for material prosperity. Solomon asked for God's wisdom. And it pleased God so that he gave him his wisdom without measure. And Solomon put the wisdom of God to work in building up the kingdom of Israel for such an example. It was such an example to all the nations round about it. And at that brief time before Solomon backslid, there was a period there when Israel was what God had intended it to be. Now, during David's reign, before Saul, who was Solomon's father, Israel reached its height of worship and devotion and singing, and that was certainly wonderful, and that pleased the heart of God, no doubt even more than the material prosperity and the wisdom. But that's just the way that God has planned it. Worship and singing and praise and psalm writing at David's time, and then this brief period during the time that Solomon was king, all the worldly wisdom and glory. There were no wars. The nations round about Israel were friendly. Some of them were friendlier than others. But God had intended, listen to me, that Israel be so peculiar and shine so brightly that all the nations of the world would come and see what made Israel tick. Your pastor was talking about how the church should be such that it would constantly be reaching out and drawing people to Christ. Amen. That we'd be shining and a light and an example. And that is just exactly what Israel was at that time. Now, lots of people came. There's a passage of Scripture, I believe it's verse 24, that we did not read. And in that same chapter of Kings, it says, all the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom. That God had, do you hear that? All the earth wanted to come and talk to Solomon to see what is this wisdom that God had put in his heart. In the second chapter of Luke, there's a passage of Scripture that you'd never in your world think would fit into this. But Israel was a light to the Gentile world at this time. She was shining so brightly, I just read to you, that all the people of the world wanted to come and see, what is this man God? What is this kingdom? What is this wisdom that God has? Where does it come from? She was a light shining to every nation round about, just for a brief time, but that's what God had wanted, that she'd be so peculiar that all the nations of the world would flow into her and see what gives. But back in Luke's gospel, when Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to the temple for the rites of purification and for his dedication. It was business as usual in the temple. Man, they were selling sparrows to the poor folks that couldn't afford lambs and selling lambs to those folks that could afford them so that they could keep the feast and do their Old Testament things, still living under the Old Testament. And up the stairs to the temple and into the temple enclosure there walked a 15-year-old Jewish girl and a carpenter husband, a little bit older, with a baby in their arms. And this old man named Simeon, who'd been hanging around the temple all his life waiting for prophecy to be fulfilled, he took Jesus out of Mary's arms. And I'll sure have a fit when I get into this. This is the most exciting thing in the Bible to me. He didn't look any different from any other baby. But the Holy Ghost said to Simeon, "That's the one." And he took that baby out of Mary's arms and he said, "Lord, I'm ready to die now. What I have lived all my life to see, my eyes are now seeing. I have seen your salvation." And this is what he said, "A light to the Gentiles, and then a consolation to your people Israel." What I'm saying to you, what Solomon had achieved when Solomon was worshiping God, and if you want to get goosebumps, you just read Solomon's prayers of dedication when he built and dedicated the temple. Some of the most beautiful scripture in all the Bible. And for that brief time, Israel had it going. When Solomon was worshiping God before he backslid. And at the very peak of the wisdom and the beauty and the power of all that Solomon was doing, along came this gal from Sheba, from Arabia or Ethiopia or some distant place. Along she came to see what was going on. She had heard. Now listen, friends. She had not necessarily heard so much about Solomon, but the Bible says she had heard about the name of the Lord. You'll miss that if you don't look carefully. She had heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, concerning the character of the God that Solomon worshipped. In those days, you see, outward prosperity was a sign of divine favor. It isn't necessarily so now, brother. See, you know, outward prosperity, you can have God's favor and not have one nickel to rub up against another because we have greater treasure. But they didn't have that greater treasure at that time, and God had promised his people he would bless them with material prosperity and large families. He said that, material blessings and large families. So wisdom and prosperity being both at their peak, these beautiful words about this old gal loom upon the pages like a bright, fresh star that she came to see what was going on because she'd heard about the fame of the name of Israel's God. And that's all of his character. When you talk about the name, have you all ever had any real in-depth teaching on the covenant names of God and all the names of God and what they mean? Every aspect of God's character has a name, and it's rich. I don't know what all she'd heard, but the Bible says she'd heard about the name of the Israel, of the God of Israel. Now, this wouldn't amount to a hill of beans if it hadn't been for what Jesus said about her. When Jesus said the old girl would rise up, he was meaning that in the resurrection. I don't know any other New Testament rising up, do you? I mean, you can correct me because I ain't a preacher, you know. I mean, I just tell it like I see it. I don't know any other New Testament rising up than the resurrection. This tells me that God had set eternity into the heart of the old girl because nobody rises up from hell to condemn or judge anybody, do they? But she would rise up, he said, and condemn the people that were in his midst. What a testimony she had. Jesus didn't mention very many people in the Old Testament by name. You stop and think about it. He didn't call very many people, you know, individual by name. But he singled her out. The Queen of the South would rise up and condemn the world. Because she went to see about Solomon, and Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. And the one that was there was who the one I read to you out of Jeremiah, the righteous branch of the house of David, of which David and both Solomon and the Lord Jesus Christ were members. And he would rule thus and so. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Our purpose is not to study anything about Solomon's kingdom, but to look at this old queen, this person that just comes in out of obscurity. There's no background on her. She just comes here. And we need to find out why she went, where she went, what she found, what she brought with her, and what she took away. Now, we're told that all the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. But there's just one singled out for Jesus to talk about. Now, did you get that? All the world wanted it. But the New Testament tells about this one woman that went and got it. That's interesting, isn't it? She'd heard. And in those days, the only way to learn wisdom was to go where the wisdom was.
Amen.
Wise men still seek him.
Amen.
See, the wise men went. And seekers after wisdom still go. But back yonder, so long ago, before Christ came, there was a person seeking after wisdom because she'd heard of the fame of the name of the Lord. The streets of Jerusalem were said to have been lined with men and kings and important people from neighboring countries coming to see. Coming to see was a very interesting time. They came loaded with gifts, but there's something different about her visit. Whoever she was, whether she was a descendant of Cush or whoever she was, she'd come from this terribly long distance because of what she'd heard. Now, when she heard, she came. If we could just have our churches such. This brother's testimony would make you run around the block, you know. I don't know when I've ever heard one that good. See, there's a freshness and a joy in it. And if I were a sinner or a backslider or a cold-dead church member and I saw what that did to him, man, I'd heard that, I'd go. I really would. I'd have to go see what it is. And we heard testimonies when we first were introduced into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We heard testimonies. And we said, Lord, if you'd do that for me. And the Lord did it for us. Exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever have asked her. Like he said, he's blessing me and he's blessing me and he's blessing me. And he'll do it. But when she heard, she went 12,000 miles on camelback, loaded down. And this was customary. I was real amused in the morning paper I was reading, you know, what the president took the Pope and what the president took the Queen of England and what the Queen, isn't that interesting, started way back yonder. That when dignitaries visit, they always take gifts. Some of the gifts just amuse me. I think, good Lord of glory, what would they do with that, you know? Rich folks got everything and set it around and look at it, I guess. But very valuable things. Well, there she went, exchanging gifts. She brought the king, are you hearing me? She brought the king the best she had. And she didn't care a thing about wealth. She had all the wealth she wanted. She could have stayed at home and counted her gold. But she'd heard something about this king. She'd heard about the fame of the name of the Lord. And it was her thirst for truth that caused her story to be recorded. If she'd have just gone to the king and taken gifts, Jesus wouldn't have said anything about it. People did that all the time. The scripture says she came to him with hard questions. Now, that would sound like she came to him with a bunch of riddles. But I want to tell you, friends, life is full of hard questions.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is the only one that has the answer.
Amen.
So she said, if I can go to that wise king, I can find out some of the things that have my soul tied in knots. Hard questions about life. You know, life is puzzling. Things happen every day and we can't understand why. And it really is a puzzle. And God allows us to walk through things to see whether or not we are more taken with circumstances or more going with Him. And it is puzzling. And I don't know what she wanted to know, but I do know that whatever she wanted to know, Solomon unloaded the answers on her. The king has the answers. You see, it would have been silly to think that she just went to exchange riddles. Who'd go 12,000 miles to swap riddles? Who would load camels down with all those ounces of gold and precious? You know what they say that the balsam orchards in Jericho are there, or were there all during Bible times, because this woman brought the first balsam plants, precious wood, to Jericho. They say she brought spices that had never been there, that the spices gave such an aroma that the odor just went out over the sea, that she brought such precious spices, that Jerusalem had never seen anything like what she brought into that city. But none of that meant much to her. She was searching for some answers. Have you ever ministered to anybody in the prayer room and they'd say, "I'm looking for some answers"? Yeah, I want some answers. Well, you direct them to the King of Wisdom. She was so hungry for truth. Hungry enough to go all that distance. Why? Because God had dropped something in her heart. He had spoken eternity. How can I be sure of that? Because Jesus said so. If Jesus said it, that settled it. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ would honor somebody that was lost? He said she'd rise up. Think about it. You know, you're going to rise up one day. She'd rise up. He didn't mean she'd get up off of a chair. She'd rise up and condemn that generation that wouldn't receive him. We're talking about a very rich woman now who came in her own expense, 12,000 miles by camel, because she'd heard about the name of the Lord. The questions of eternity were burning in her soul. See, for us, these are settled. I have no question about eternity. I don't know anything about it, but I know I've got it. And I know it's good. And I know when we die that we just change statuses. Nothing to worry about. Jesus took the sting out of death, overcame death, hell, and the grave. But this gal didn't know that. But friends, I want to tell you something. She walked in more light than almost, well, I guess, than anybody that's recorded in the Old Testament. That is, outside David and the prophet. You think about it. Rahab said, "Yeah, we've heard about your God." But Rahab didn't travel 12,000 miles on a camelback. She probably would have. I bet she would have. But you think about how far she went to get the truth in her soul. Her soul was as thirsty for truth as desert sands off of water. You know, there are people that you minister to that are just like sponges. And they just draw truth out. I mean, they just draw it out. Some little young people, you know, in some of our Bible classes, not teenagers, you know, little young married ladies, 35, 40 years old, just getting in the end of life. You know, they're young people by my standards. But they are so hungry, and it's so beautiful to see them so hungry. I mean, their souls are just sponges. And people of mature age, you know, just sponges. I'd rather have the truth and have what's in this Bible than anything money could buy.
Amen.
I was forced into teaching through the Old Testament from Genesis 1:1. We finished 2 Kings last week. We've been in that 5 years. That's right. From Genesis to 2 Kings. An hour and a half every week. And I would not sell what I've learned for all the $1,000 bills you could stack in this church. And God knows my heart. I mean, it's truth. And Jesus said, "I'm the truth." See, it all hooks up together. He dropped eternity down in her heart. And she said, "I've got to have the questions of eternity settled. I've got to go to this wise king, because he knows the name of this God that they're talking about." And she went to see for herself, because her soul was on fire. She was thirsty. She wanted the truth. And wisdom that Solomon had. You know what wisdom is? It's knowledge rightly applied.
Amen.
That Solomon was some character. Back over here. I don't remember just exactly where it is. Yeah, here it is. It says, Solomon was wiser than all men. Now, his wisdom lasted as long as he walked with God. When he quit walking with God, he became the biggest fool in the Old Testament. That's right. As long as he was walking with God, his wisdom was known throughout all the world. Just got through reading it to you. The scripture says he spoke 3,000 proverbs. I bless and thank God we've got 31 of them, don't you? Don't you like the proverbs, man? They'll meddle with you if you aren't careful. I love what one Bible teacher said. Proverbs doesn't say one thing about going to church. It's too practical for that, see? It's how you pay your help. It's how you treat your neighbor. It's how you live together with your wife. It's how you avoid contention. It's how you learn the Word of God and profit thereby. It's tremendous. And Solomon was the author of these things. He probably picked up a lot of it from his father. His songs were 1,005. 1,005 songs. And we think if we know of 100 charismatic choruses, we've got quite a repertoire, haven't we? Solomon knew 1,005 songs. And the scripture says he spoke of trees. And I expect you've heard this expression, but you never really realized what it really means. It says, from the cedars of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows on the wall. The cedars of Lebanon were the biggest trees that grew, and the hyssop was just a little vine that had a little paintbrush kind of blossom on it. But Solomon knew the plant world from the cedars of Lebanon to the hyssop that grew on the wall. He spoke of animals and birds and creeping things, and all men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Some man, wasn't he? Those of us that search for answers are bound to be able to understand a little bit about the joy that old girl found when she found the answers. Coming at her own expense, lured down with gifts that she brought for herself, comes a searching and pours out her heart to him. Bible says she told him all that was in her heart. Solomon didn't hide anything from her. He told her everything. Being the wisest man, having God's wisdom, nothing was too difficult for him to explain. Any man that could write the Proverbs could explain anything in life.
Amen.
The true king of Israel is the source of all wisdom.
Amen.
He was the king of Israel who had it. Colossians 2:3 says that in Christ was all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See how it hangs together? He's our king, and he has all the answers, all the treasure, everything that, it blows your mind thinking about everything was ever known, all the wisdom of God. You never saw Jesus get uptight. You never saw him search for an answer. You never saw him give a wrong answer. One of the wisest things, I just ran this in a little book the other day. You know, the disciples asked Jesus a lot of dumb questions. Can we sit on your right? Can we sit on your left? Mama, you go ask him. And Mama went and asked him. And Jesus never did really give them any answers. He could answer them and satisfy them enough. But you know what? He was wise enough to know that when the Holy Ghost came, they wouldn't ask such dumb questions. Because the Spirit would teach them the things of Christ.
Amen.
And impart to them the same wisdom that he had.
Amen.
And they use it in their preaching. Scripture says if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. The book of James says that. It says he'll give it to you generously, and he won't upbraid. You know what upbraiding is? So you want more money? Just gave you some. You want more wisdom? I thought you had enough. And this yakking and nagging, God never wearies. You need wisdom? Go to the king. She found out what she was really looking for. Now, Jesus had said to these people in Matthew's gospel, he said, you're a wicked and adulterous generation. You're always looking for a sign. He said, the queen of Sheba will rise up in the judgment. She'll condemn all of you because a greater than Solomon is here. The queen of Sheba went all that way to see Solomon. He said, there's something in your midst greater than Solomon. Seeking for a sign. I want to tell you something, friends. There wasn't a Pentecostal sign in her hometown. Did you hear me? There was not a single sign that she looked for. God had dropped eternity in her heart. And she was thirsty for knowledge. Thirsty for wisdom. The Queen of Sheba never mentioned any signs. But she was searching for truth. Jesus said, she'll rise. Jesus said, she's made it. You see, now he doesn't say that, but I can't believe that anybody condemned to hell would rise and have any share in the resurrection and judgment. Is that right? And I just figured that out. After verse 3, she could have gone back to wherever she came from singing, "I'm satisfied." Y'all sing that song, "I'm satisfied with Jesus, fully satisfied, every need's been supplied, praise the Lord, I'm satisfied." Because she was satisfied. After verse 3, nothing was hidden from her. Nothing. Verse 4 puts it in order. Wisdom first. So she was looking for wisdom first. It's knowledge rightly applied. Did you know this? I didn't know this until we started in Ephesians again the other day. The Bible has layers, you know. You peel one back and you think, "I found it." And you get it in again, you peel back another one, and you say, "Well, bless the Lord, I've never seen it." And you go back a year or so later, a few months later, and you can peel that same, you know, get into that. You know what I mean by peeling? Digging, searching. And you'll see something else. But only recently did we see in Ephesians that one of the great purposes of the church, and that's us, was to demonstrate God's manifold wisdom. His many-sided wisdom. The church is supposed to be a demonstration of the many-sided wisdom of God. Also to put on display His grace. And this is what this old girl was looking for. See, she was looking for the same wisdom that the church is supposed to have on display. One thing to know, see something, but it's quite another thing to know what to do with it, and that's wisdom. Verse 5 is just woman talk. Wouldn't you need just like a woman to talk about these things? The food on the table. Oh, she said, "This is delicious. I have to have this recipe." My. The seating of the servants, how he had everything arranged, the attendance of his waiters and their attire. His cupbearer. See, now, the seating of his servants. Now, that doesn't mean the servants wouldn't be sitting down. The seating of his servants were those who were standing in his presence, continually obtaining his wisdom. How blessed are your men who are always in your presence and always sharing your wisdom, she said. Old girl knew some stuff, didn't she? Then she talked about the what they wore. You know what, friends? You and I ought to wear such a garment. I don't, and you don't either, probably. I don't know you. But we ought to always wear such a garment of righteousness and such a garment of praise that everybody in Hammond would inquire as to the wisdom, the power, the truth. What is this thing? And the King lives in us. And it's the purpose of the church to declare God's manifold, many-sided wisdom. And that's what she saw in Solomon. She said, "These men who stand here and all the time, they share your great wisdom. How blessed they are," she said. Now, the King James Version of the Bible says, where it says stairway in verse 5, it says ascent. In ascent, you know, the way you go up. This Bible's translated stairway, but a cross reference in this Bible says that what they were talking about was the burnt offering, the whole burnt offering. And when Solomon, man, I'd like to know what they talked about, wouldn't you? I bet he told her all about Israel's experiences in the wilderness. About the manna, the quail, the water out of the rock. I bet he told about the ark and the cherubim and the presence of God dwelling between the winged cherubim and all the glorious things about the law. He could have told her some glorious stuff. But somewhere in that, she saw this way that he went up to the house of the Lord. And the original must have to do with the burnt offering. It wouldn't be in this good Bible. The whole burnt offering in the Levitical system represented the total sacrifice of Christ. I don't know what he told her, but she saw something about the way he got to the Lord's house and got to the Lord's presence. It was the one that spoke of Christ, the full offering that was going burned completely up more than any other offering. She learned the truth about the name and the character, something great things about God. as she visited the wise king of Israel during the time that Israel was doing and being what God had intended it to be. The spirit, the Bible says, when she saw it, there was no more spirit in her. I don't know what that means. I imagine it means she fell out. There was no more spirit in her. That's a good way. I don't know. But there was no more spirit in her, the scripture says. She was just zapped. She said, I heard it was good, but I never believed it could be this good. You said that too. I heard it was wonderful. I didn't believe being a Christian was anything like this. Heard somebody say that when last night one little young fellow said, oh man, he said, when I was living that other life, I thought I was having a good time. But I just never knew it could be like this.
Amen.
And when you get into the real thing, you see, you'd be like the Queen of Sheba. She said, I'd heard about it. I knew it was good. I didn't really believe it was good as everybody said it was. But she said, they didn't halfway tell me. The half has never been told. Somebody wrote an old song, you know, talk about joy unspeakable. And the last line of the chorus says, and the half has never yet been told. You see, the church is supposed to be a demonstration of that because the king that's in our midst, because the greater one than Solomon is in our midst. She is just absolutely couldn't stand it. I heard it was good, but she said, you exceed all I've heard. It's better than I ever dreamed. Verses 8 and 9 are really, they're just mind-boggling. She said, how blessed are your men. How did a heathen Gentile queen know anything about blessings? You know how she knew? God had dropped that in her heart. Think about it. She says, how blessed are your men, your servants who partake of your wisdom. And in verse 9, she sees the source of all of it. She said, blessed be the Lord your God. Now, I don't know whether the little girl didn't know at that time that he could also be her God. But she'd heard of Solomon and his God and the fame of his name. But now she learns the source of it. Blessed be the Lord your God. And what she had complimented for, when I first saw this, I really had a time. It was one of the most glorious things I've ever seen. She didn't compliment him on the palace. She didn't compliment him on his wealth. But look what she complimented him on. God loved Israel, made you king. You see those two words, justice and righteousness? What could an old girl from so far away, outside the commonwealth of Israel, possibly know about justice and righteousness? God had set eternity in her heart, as sure as the world. And you remember in Jeremiah that we read, the day will come, says the Lord, when I'll raise up the righteous branch of the house of David, and he will bring the same two qualities that the Queen of Sheba saw in Solomon's court. Justice and righteousness. And friends, that's what it's all about. Justice and righteousness, the qualities of the kingdom. The Apostle Paul said many centuries later, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink or not rules or what you wear or where you go, but it's righteousness. Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. How could a Gentile queen, though, know if God hadn't been working in her heart? I think that's so exciting. Somehow in a way that you and I really can't understand, even though I see it. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Well, thank you. How she see she was dealing in eternal qualities. Wanting to see the king. Having heard about the name of the Lord. Where you get your wisdom. What a wonderful house this is. How blessed you are. How blessed you are because God loved Israel and set you to be king. And Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. I can see that God, he said eternity. I don't have to understand how God does it. But I see that she's referring, that Jesus is, when Jesus said, a greater one than Solomon is here, that she had glimpses of glory that the churches haven't even begun to get. That's right. Look at what she saw. She saw the wisdom of the house, the food on the table, the sitting of the servants, the attendance of the waiters, the clothing they wore, the cupbearers, and the offerings. And she gave the king gifts. I want you to notice in verse 10, but hers were measured out. Now you look very carefully. Hers were measured out. So many talents of gold. And the same source that told me she rode those 12,000 miles on a camel said that that was 504 ounces of gold. That's a lot of gold, isn't it? See, money didn't mean anything to her. Wealth didn't mean anything to her. She was looking for truth. She had some questions, and she wanted them answered. And verses 10 and 11 and 12 measure her gifts that we read about. But verse 13 says, what the king gave her could not be measured. You can bring him the best you've got, but you can't outgive him. Little sister, I heard you say that. He'll give you back more. See, in our time, it may not be houses and lands, but it's joy unspeakable and riches unsearchable. And you can't buy them no matter how much money you've got. But he just outgave her all the way around, just gave her things that she couldn't even. I want you to know what it says. Notice what it says here. You give according to, not out of. I could have $1 million, and if I gave out of it, I'd just reach into it and give something out of it. But if I give according to, then that's a horse of a different color.
Amen.
Too much is given, much is required, you see. You give according to what you have. Paul said that in the tithe. You give according and you've been blessed. You lay it up that week. If you make $100, well, you give $10. If you make $1, you give 10 cents. You give according to. And Scripture says he gave according to his bounty. Well, I want to tell you something, friends. God owns it all. And it's his pleasure to give it all. You ever stop and think about that? Why, Brother Clarence, is the church so poor mouth? I mean, spiritually poor mouth. Pray for me that I can hold on. Boy, when we first got into this, and we went to churches all over town, my friend back there and I, we've been running together a long time. You know, we'd go all over town. We'd hunt up churches and chicken houses and places like that. I'm telling the story. We never went to a chicken house before. But we'd go everywhere. And we see these people, you know, that had been in the way. Y'all ever hear that? I've been in the way all these years. And the same old turkeys that answered the altar call every time we'd go. And the same old prayer. And they'd get up and say, pray for me that I can hold on. And I was about to bust. I said, oh, my God in glory. Yeah, if they got what I got, they couldn't hold on. They couldn't turn loose. They couldn't stand it. They'd just be busting. See, this is what you're talking about. Why are we so poor when we've been given everything? God has given according to his bounty. He didn't give her a little piddling gift. He gave her all the answers that she wanted. She didn't care anything about money. She wanted wisdom and knowledge. She had some questions about life. She was a seeker after truth. In the book of Ephesians, and this is fresh, y'all, because we're teaching it. In the book of Ephesians, 12 times in 3 chapters, that word according to. Man, any one of them would preach. According to your faith. According to the working of his power, according to the power that works in us, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, according to the riches of his grace. And you think about how powerful every one of those statements are. What God has, he freely gives. See, he who gave up his own son, how shall he not freely give us all things? According to his bounty. So Solomon wasn't stingy with her. He had much, so he gave much. She gave him so many camels, so much talents of gold, so much spices. But what he gave to her was the key to life. He answered her questions. Wouldn't you like to know what they talked about? She could have seen his wealth and not wanted his wisdom, and she'd have never, ever got her name in the book if she'd have just seen his wealth and not wanted his wisdom. She'd have never made it. But she came looking for answers. Now, we just never will know. But I tell you what, it's enough for me to know that she'll rise up. Man, listen, rising up, that's the ultimate. That's our final desire. That's the surety of the resurrection. Think about it. You know a little song, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming again. That's what the verse says. It says, we arise to meet him, we arise to meet him. Oh, that'll get a hold of him. You think about rising to meet him, rising to meet him. Jesus said the old girl's going to rise and stand in condemnation in that generation. Well, you say, what does that mean to me, really? Well, she's a type of all those whose spirit causes them to seek after truth. Friends, I want to tell you something. Truth will set you free.
Amen.
Truth will release you for worship, release you for service, release you from bondage. I bet you she put those camels in a trot going home, don't she? You think about it. If she fainted and fell out when she saw it, what do you think she did when she loaded it up in her head and on her, the camels and went home with it? Scripture says she went back to her own land, fully satisfied. She had, now listen, to get this wisdom, she had to leave her estate, her country. She had to turn her back on where she was and go to where he was. You get that, don't you? She had to rise above the fact that she was just a woman. Don't read about anybody going with her. Just her and the camels and the gifts, the wealth. She had to travel a long ways and face many dangers. It was no easy task. Are you hearing me? It was no easy task. There was some sacrifice to make to seek the king's wisdom. It wasn't something she could just do lightly and think, well, maybe I want it and maybe I don't. Well, tell me about it some other day, some other time. Don't talk to me about that Jesus business, you know. Maybe I will. You know, I really get sick and tired of petting people and spoon feeding them. You know, I really do. And they'll say right to my face, you know, there's no teaching anywhere. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. It may not do anything for you, but it's just plumb blown my mind. There's nowhere to go. You know, you got a Bible.
Amen.
I'm talking about, you see, this is a serious thing. She didn't namby-pamby around about it and change your mind and fool around. Scripture says when she heard, she went. I tell you, that's what we did, wasn't it, Mary? I'll tell you, when we heard that Methodists were talking in other tongues, I wore my body. I guess that's why I got tired. I get tired every once in a while now. I just wore my body out for about 3 years. Everywhere we heard there was any life, we went. It just blew her mother's mind, you know, with all these old churches we were going to. That's what dignified denominational folks think, you know, them old churches. Don't tell them what they think about this one. You know, but when we heard, we went. And it was nothing at all like we thought it was going to be. You know, I thought she, when the Holy Ghost got on you, you know, it's what they say, when the Holy Spirit gets on you, you'll speak in tongues. Well, I really thought that we'd go down the street and all of a sudden something would hit us and we'd speak in tongues and we couldn't help it, you know. And I thought everybody on Florida Street would be looking at me. I knew I couldn't live with that because after all, I was somebody in the community. Could disgrace myself. But you see, when we found the answers, when we found the king and began to partake of the wisdom, we said, didn't we, George? You remember, man, I didn't know it was like this.
Amen.
The half had not been told of the truth of Christ.
Amen.
The wisdom of God. She's really an example. Her story shines out. No easy task, but she went to see, and he answered her questions. I said the king answered her questions, won her confidence, led her out of darkness into light. Now, Israel had been chosen to shed the light. That's what God had chosen her for. Not to keep the light, but to share the light. The glory of Christ is the light of the world. And the church has a responsibility to share it. to take the light, to send the light. It's no shame of Jesus's that men don't seek him. It's the shame of the men who can't see him. Did you get that? He has given everything. He stood in the midst of that unbelieving generation and he said, "You seek for signs." He said, "No sign will be given to you." He said, "The men of Nineveh believed because of the sign of Jonah." He said, "That's the only sign." And he said, "The queen of Sheba will rise up and condemn you, a wicked and adulterous generation." You know why? Because the King of Glory was in their midst. And they didn't want him. But he said, "The queen of Sheba did." I think that's so sweet and exciting. There's a name of Jesus at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That's the manifold wisdom of God. And the shame of it is the negligence of men. And you know, the church is not really what God intended it to be, but God's working on us. I'm hungry for truth, aren't you? I want to know. It was to this reason. A lot of people don't believe this is in the Bible, but it really is. It's in the Bible. It's in the second chapter of Thessalonians, the second book of Thessalonians, second chapter and 14th verse. It says explicitly that it was to this end or for this purpose that Christ came into the world, that you, the church, might be made partakers or sharers of his glory. Amen. And if you've got it, the world needs to see it. But the highest use of all of this story is what Jesus made of it, because it stands as an everlasting and ongoing witness against those who are too blind to see, too stubborn to believe, and too careless and too dull to listen to the gospel. Do you realize there are not many folks that really care a hoot about seeing Jesus? You've got members of your own family that don't want you to talk to them about Jesus. I do. They'll change the subject. They'll get up and go to another room. It's pitiful, isn't it? And Jesus was standing in the midst of these people declaring the words of life. Men will go long distances and make great big sacrifices to obtain very small and meaningless things. That's right. The nothingness of life. But people will, they make great sacrifices. But it would take much less travel and much smaller sacrifice to obtain the king's wisdom. She longed for wisdom. See, she had a certain discernment. I just don't know much about it, really. But the scripture says she'd heard of the name of the Lord. When we walked in the door, you folks were singing the name of the Lord. Amen. You suppose she'd heard that it was a strong tower? You suppose she'd heard that his name was righteousness? She said, "God has really blessed Israel to give him a king like you to execute justice and righteousness." That's one of his names, Jehovah, our righteousness. Do you reckon she knew part of his name was Jehovah, our healer? God only knows what she'd heard. Think about it. Do you suppose she'd heard that one of his name was Jehovah, our shepherd? Think about it. I don't know what she'd heard. But what she'd heard, she went 12,000 miles on camelback to get the answers. And you can set up a banner. You can have a meeting. And men won't walk across the street. You know, it's a lukewarm age. Thank God we're not all lukewarm. I tell you, it's exciting when some of us really get turned on. She knew the name of the Lord who had the wisdom. She knew the king to go to get it. Strangely enough, she knew how to find him. Isn't that interesting? She knew how to go from where she was to where the king was to get all her questions solved. We don't have to go far because the greater than Solomon is here. He's here. We may not all have all the blessedness of all of the prosperity, but I want to tell you something, friends. We've all got the blessedness of His servants who stand continually in His presence. I love the standing you folks do. Did you girls catch that? In every place we've been for the last 2 months, there's a standing of the people. You don't move. You don't shout. At that particular time, there's a standing. You've been doing that very long? It's precious. Just to stand in His presence. See, we all have that. Because the greater than Solomon is here. And God has set eternity in our hearts. Like He set eternity into the heart of that old girl. And the Bible says, and you think, that God is exceedingly able to do, or He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think of asking. He's wonderful. And the greater one is here. Amen.